Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 31st of August 2016 as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to Instagram and follow me at Willow Gerald Quinn. iTunes.apple.com to vote on but just give us five stars. Give us 5 stars at iTunes.apple.com. Look up Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports. Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. That's how long it's been. You probably, you know, when you haven't done a show in a couple of weeks, you forget the name of the show that you started. Now, what, 9 years ago? It will be 9 years come the start of season 9 come next week, or the week after next. We'll do our season 9 premiere September after Labor Day week. So we're looking at NFL season starts the 8th on that Thursday. We're talking 10th or the 11th, probably the 11th of September, and that would be a perfect segue into the NFL season as well as also celebrating and remembering 9/11 as well. So September 10th, September 11th will be the season premiere of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast, year number 9. And now keep in mind, we've had a bevy of name changes. Saturday morning wake up call, Cyril Quinn review, 12/11 sports talk. But we've settled in on the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast, and that's probably going to stay for a minute here. We begin with the NFL, we are, of course, season 7 starts a week, just 8 days away from Carolina-Denver. Denver hosting the Carolina Panthers as they head into the season as defending Super Bowl champions with a quarterback that I, frankly, have never heard of in my life. But that is the state of NFL quarterbacking right now. And, you know, you look at I'm going through each team in preparation for the show and saying, well, who can I name all 32 starting NFL quarterbacks? I mean, I watch a ton of NFL, been watching sports over 30 plus years. I just wondered to myself, because that's how bad it's gotten with guys going down or just guys you just don't know as well as, you know, the household names that we've gone accustomed to. Rodgers, Brady, Roethlisberger. I mean, and I'm looking through some of the names that who are going to be starting when the season begins September 8th, an opening weekend of the NFL season, and you have Dak Prescott, Trevor Siemian, Brock Osweiler. San Francisco doesn't know, but could be Blaine Gabbert. Garofalo, of course, from New England. RG3 in terms of Cleveland. And St. Louis, who knows? Could be Goff, could be Keenum. Goff seems, you get the sense from watching the Hard Knocks life that Goff is clearly the more talented of the two, but they don't want to put him in right away. They kind of want to ease him in probably like week 4, week 5. But just from the coaches, Winkie, who's the quarterback coach, they love Goff. And it's evident. It's not just because he's number one pick, but they have nobody else on their roster. They have no other quality quarterback on their roster. So Goff is, you know, probably their best player, their best, without question, their best quarterback. But again, he's a rookie, and you know they don't want to just throw him into the fire pan. He will again. I'd be shocked. I wouldn't be surprised if he started week one, but you will see Jared Goff. I said Jared Goff before week 3, before September's out, you'll see Jared Goff start. started in three now Los Angeles Rams. So the state of quarterbacking in the NFL right now, to me, is as bad as I've seen it in all my years watching the NFL. And it just got worse, of course, last night with the injury of one Teddy Bridgewater. It's coming off a pretty good season. It was coming off a season where he's a much better player than what his numbers indicate. I know he had 14 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. They did not ask him to throw a lot of passes. They did not ask him to do a lot. Run the ball, get the ball, Adrian Peterson, win with our defense. That was the blueprint for Minnesota, and it got them to a division title and should have gotten them to the NFC divisional playoffs. As you know, we all know that the missed field goal from that was in essence, an extra point. Minnesota Viking fans surely will never forget that missed kick. So Bridgewater just shatters his leg. I mean, it comes out last night that this was a dislocated knee, but it turns out that was a torn ACL. And, you know, you read reports today, you know, if they wouldn't have gotten the ambulance, if they wouldn't have made the 911 call as quick as they did, he could have lost his leg. I mean, they're talking about he could have lost his leg and never played again. So they, you know, shout out to the Minnesota training staff in Minnesota for maybe saving this guy's career. I mean, forget about playing again in 2017, but just saving his career in general. Now they don't have a quarterback, unless you believe in Sean Hill. The guy who could be the next quarterback, we'll talk certainly a lot about him over the course of the program, the one Colin Kaepernick. But, you feel bad for Bridgewater, because Bridgewater, I like Bridgewater a lot better, a lot more than other people that have liked him. I think he's a winner. I think he's a guy who is going to get better. I don't know if he'll be a superstar quarterback, but I think he's a guy who can develop, who could have developed into a franchise player. And he's not going to beat you. Like he's not going to make a critical mistake that loses you a game. He is, to me, an above average game manager. Like he's right now, he's a guy who can manage the game, and a guy who can make a couple plays. You really feel terrible for him moving forward with this injury. Again, who knows how he recovers, if he recovers from this injury, as gruesome as it was. I mean, there was talk about Minnesota Viking players throwing up at the sight of the injury. They called off practice. So he's going to be out for the year. Who knows what direction they go in. You have to have a backup quarterback in today's NFL. And don't laugh, because they're not 32 quality starting quarterbacks. So you're saying, how can you possibly have a backup quarterback of any quality? But if you have any Super Bowl aspirations, you better have a backup quarterback. I mean, you better have a backup quarterback. Your team, you better have a guy who knows the offense. You better have a guy who can come in and manage the game for 2 to 3 weeks. If your quarterback gets hurt, hopefully he's only out 2 to 3 weeks. If he does get hurt and it's not a major injury like Bridgewater sustained last night or yesterday, but you have to have a guy who can come in and be a stopgap for a couple of weeks so your season doesn't fall apart. And you saw what happened to the Cowboys last year. You saw, who knows? I mean, again, Brady thing won't be as big because, again, it's the Patriots and it's just 4 weeks. But, you see why Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the league and how much value he has for the Green Bay Packers. They can function without Aaron Rodgers. And, as bad as Peyton Manning was last year, and he was horrible, watch Denver this year offensively with Trevor Siemian or Mark Sanchez. Well, you watch that team offensively. And again, as bad as Peyton Manning was last year, he was horrible. Watch the drop off, and there'll still be a drop off. Even with 39-year-old Peyton Manning to what they have right now. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180. There's a call number, busy program. We will get to the entertainment pop culture portion of the program in terms of talking about Power. And we'll get, you know, touch on the night of a little bit as well, as they had their series finale on Sunday, 90 minutes. Or maybe it was even longer than that. It was about an hour and 45 minutes. Power, of course, we head into episode 8. And then they'll take a break September 11th and then finish out the season September 18th, September 25th for weeks for episodes 9 and 10. So a lot to do on this program. Colin Kaepernick right now is a San Francisco 49er. For how long, who knows? Chip Kelly has basically said nothing in terms of what to expect in terms of what he's going to do with his quarterback situation. It's been very vague. We don't know who the star is going to be. I anticipate that Gabbert will be the starter and that Kaepernick will get cut. Kaepernick, again, that cap number is too big. And now with what he's done, the stance that he's taken against the flag, at this point, you know, the 49ers organization probably says to himself that he's probably not even worth this much of negative publicity and aggravation. They could have been in the midst of cutting him regardless. But now he's made it easy on them to get rid of him and just to move on from the Kaepernick era, which at one time, I mean, things change quickly in the NFL. Colin Kaepernick, this is a guy that has beaten Aaron Rodgers twice in the playoffs, one time in Green Bay. So put that in perspective. I mean, this is a guy who has a great playoff record, helped them get to a Super Bowl in the 2012 season, came within an eyelash of getting there in 2013 with that devastating loss in Seattle in the NFC Championship, but has completely just fallen off the cliff. And, you know, he had some injuries last year, but most of his issues have been mental as far as his ability to play the sport, to play. And we all know what it is. I mean, the guy was a running quarterback and never developed as a passer, similar to, you know, RG3 and these other guys who are running quarterbacks who don't develop their drop back and their pocket skills. And again, eventually you can only – that athleticism in the NFL as a quarterback only lasts for so long before you lose your legs and have to develop, have to develop on accuracy and pocket presence and poise under pressure and things of that nature in order to stay in the league, let alone perform at a high level over the course of your career. But Kaepernick, you know, is going to be gone. And, you know, you look at what Kaepernick has done in the recent stance that he took, not standing for the national anthem. Of course, you know, he's taking a lot of heat, as you know he would. But, you know, when somebody does something that is quote-unquote controversial and newsworthy, I'm the type of person that looks at the person's intentions. What was their motivation for doing it? Was it attention? Was it money? Are they just not to make light of mental health or mental illness? We know it's a serious disease, but are they losing their minds? So I'm looking at motivation. For Colin Kaepernick, you know, you have to, like, whether you like it or not, you have to respect what he's doing, because there is no motivation other than what he's saying, and, you know, in terms of being tired of, violence against African Americans, tired of, and wanting to just take a stand. I mean, this is a guy who is at the crossroads, okay? This guy is at the crossroads of his career. He could be out the league before you turn around, before you blink, he could be out of the league. So this guy has everything to lose, and really, from an NFL standpoint, nothing to gain. He's not going to gain. You think McDonald's is calling Colin Kaepernick and saying, "Hey, here's a new contract." So it's not about money. You know, there might be 20, 15, 16 other, 10 other teams who need quarterbacks who say, you know what, you're not worth the headache. You're not worth it. You're not worth it. So he's risking, in essence, he is risking his career with this type of move. And I respect it. Now, with that being said, and I'm not going to get into the back and forth whether who's right, who's wrong. I have my opinions and views on it. Quick sidebar in terms of me personally with the flag. You know, I was in fourth or fifth grade, and I refused to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. Or I refused to say the words. I don't know. I was not trying to make a political statement by any stretch of imagination. I was just being a butthead as a fourth or fifth grader, you know, 10 or 12, you know, 9, 10 years old. And, teacher walks up to me and says, hey, you have to at least stand. You don't have to say it, but you have to stand. I stood up, but again, never followed up on why. I didn't know why I was doing what I was doing. I also didn't know why at the time we had to stand up for the American flag, why we had to stand up, let alone say the words. So I didn't understand that part. Like, why do we have to stand up? So that, you know, quick sidebar of me personally. But, you know, but Kaepernick, you know, makes valid points. And again, you're talking about a guy who has everything to lose and nothing to gain. Now, with that being said, if Colin Kaepernick does have an inner circle, if he does have people around him who he trusts, who he respects, and who are not, like, you know, yes men, if you're one of these people, you have to say to him, like, okay, Matt, you're taking your stance. Now what's next? Like, what's the move? What's plan B? Like, let's say you don't get a job. And I think Kaepernick will be on somebody's team next year. He could be a Viking this time tomorrow, for all we know. There's some cuts him or next week. You know, he's gonna play. He's gonna be on somebody's roster this season. But let's say hypothetically speaking, he was blackballed from the league behind this. What would be plan B with the Colin Kaepernick? Are you going to become an activist all of a sudden? Are you going to be doing motivational speeches, going around the country talking to kids in schools? So I mean, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm serious. Like, what is plan B? Kind of like, you know, with the protests and things of that nature, that's great, but what's the next move on the chessboard? What's the next move? So that would be my question for Colin Kaepernick. What is next? So are you going to speak out now and never say anything? Or are you just going to leave it at this and try to move and hope that people forget it, hope that just people move on from it? I don't know. Like, I don't know what Colin Kaepernick is thinking in terms of what he's going to do next with this, how he's going to build upon this, or if he's going to build upon this at all. So we'll see what happens with Kaepernick moving forward. 347-215-6180 is call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 50 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this edition of Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast, as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. You know, there was a line from The Wire season 3 by Avon Barksdale. He got into the argument with Stringer after he found out that Stringer had D'Angelo killed in jail back in season 2. He said, "I see you, I see a man without a country. Not hard enough for this, and maybe not smart enough for them out there." And I look at that, I hear that line, I remember that line. And I think about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow does not know what to do with himself. He doesn't. And it's becoming borderline sad to watch. I mean, imagine this. You are a Heisman Trophy, two-time national championship quarterback, All-American, you know, pristine reputation. You're doing missions all over the world and, you know, devout Christian. And you are as comfortable in your own skin as anybody, as any professional athlete. You get drafted in the first round, which was stupid, by the way, by LeBron. The guy who they could have picked could have been quarterback in their team right now. So that's how bad a pick that was for them. Like that guy, they actually could have been their future quarterback. But anyway, he gets drafted in the first round. You know, has his 15 minutes of fame that season when they went to the playoffs and beat Pittsburgh, and then came back down to earth a week later against New England. And, you know, he hasn't been seen or heard from basically since. He's a terrible NFL quarterback. Everybody knew that he was going to be an awful NFL quarterback. He can't throw. That was no secret. And it turned out he wasn't even a great scrambler in the NFL because the guys were just super athletes, and he wasn't, you know, you couldn't run the same offense that they ran at Florida, which helped them win two national championships. So, you know, he can't play NFL, he can't play football, can't play tight end, certainly couldn't play quarterback. So, you know, could have did TV, but that was boring for him. He never really was into it, never felt like he was a natural at that, never just was fully, I felt committed to that. Which is fine. You know, TV is not for everybody. Broadcast is not for everybody. But in terms of ex-athletes. Matter of fact, very few, to me, succeeded at it. Once they move on from their careers, they become, but that doesn't mean they don't get jobs, but very few, to me, are any good at it. It's not that many of them. Not as many as you think they are. So, he's going to play baseball. A sport that he had, and not just, you know, not just beer league baseball or, you know, softball, you know, or recreation softball. He's going to try to play professional baseball. He hasn't played baseball since 2005. So he goes out, has a workout where 28 of the 30 major league teams are, you know, have scouts and what have you. And these are some of the Tebow's scores. Now, again, the rating is from 20 to 80, whatever that means. Baseball people certainly would be able to figure that out. I don't scout baseball players. I don't, you know, I know what 5 tools are, but I don't know how you have a rating system for a prospect. That's not what I do. But anyway, apparently 20 is at the bottom, 30 is organizational, 40 is bench player, 50 is average to maybe a regular player, 60 is plus, 70 is top 5, 80, you're talking about, you know, I guess a top prospect, a guy that can play, be close to playing right away. Hitting, Tebow scored. Power and hitting, he scores at 30. Running and fielding, he scores actually scored at 55. Throwing, below 45. So those are his scores, which is 45, which is below average. There were scouts who said that this is a waste of time. There were scouts who said they reminded him of a actor trying to play athlete, like stuff like that. Then there was one scout, and I hopefully he's not a San Francisco Giant, Well, we know he's not a San Francisco Giants GM because they won three out of the last six championships. But hopefully this guy isn't the general manager of your team or scouting in your or your favorite baseball organization, because one scout actually said that he wasn't as bad as I thought he was going to be, which to me, that's like, what? Like, what? How bad do you think he was going to be? So, but again, hopefully that scout isn't a part of your baseball, your favorite team's baseball organization. But basically, Tebow can't play baseball. Listen, these guys, the Deion Sanders of the world, the Bo Jacksons of the world, to a lesser extent, Michael Jordan, who, by all accounts, according to Terry Francona, who managed him in AA when he was down in Birmingham, when he took the mini hiatus from basketball, said that he was headed towards being a professional baseball player had he followed through. You're talking about three freaks of nature with Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, and Michael Jordan. You know, I'm not even talking about pros versus Joes. To be a professional in one sport is like the success rate is about 1% for one sport. For two sports, I would say the success rate would be like 0.00 whatever percent, like it, less than 1%. To be a pro at two sports. I mean, you know, there are guys, when you think about it, who were superstars in high school, All-Americans in college, who just don't cut it to make it to a professional, to make it to the pros in one sport. Forget about two, just one sport. I mean, how many can't miss prospects or you know, great college basketball players have we seen just become bust when they got to the professional leagues? It's a different world. And, you know, the idea that this guy is going to be out of baseball for 11 years and then all of a sudden try to hit live pitching, I mean, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. I mean, I think, you know, Tebow just does not know what to do with himself. I think the football thing was a big letdown. I think he expected to succeed. Of course, you win the Heisman Trophy, you get drafted as number one pick, you win a national championship. Of course, it's ingrained in your DNA that you expect to succeed. You don't get a college scholarship and become a superstar at Florida without having that kind of confidence. But now it's like, you know, he's like, what do I do? It's like he has no purpose right now. So, you know, the baseball thing, listen, nobody, there's no way in the world that I would even, if I'm a baseball organization, waste a roster spot at my single, double, or triple A affiliates for Tim Tebow. It's no way. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. I'm developing because, yeah, he'll sell some tickets, but you know what? I could be developing another player who might turn out to be a superstar for me in 2 to 3 years. And there's enough money in baseball going around with these teams that these teams in Major League Baseball are not cutting coupons. There's enough regional television money. There's enough just money in the pot all together. So in terms of ratings, and television ratings are pretty good in baseball to where teams are not struggling, you know, to pay their bills. It's just not happening. So you don't need sideshow circuses like having Tim Tebow a part of your baseball organization. Again, Michael Jordan did it. It was Michael Jordan. And he turned out, by the time he came to the end of his tenure with the White Sox, he was playing well. It turned out, I mean, again, he had a shot at making the pros, believe it or not. And the only reason he could pull that off is because you are one of the greatest athletes to walk the face of the earth. And think about that. Think about this. We're talking about Michael Jordan, who, again, one of the greatest athletes ever, and he still struggled in the beginning. Tim Tebow is not one of the greatest athletes of all time. So good luck to Tim. I hope he finds his niche. Whatever that is, I hope he's fine. We hope that Tim finds his purpose. 347-215-6180. Coming up, power. Big weekend for college football. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this last edition of The Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is the call number as we discuss the world of sport, the world of sports and pop culture. Of course, we again come programming notes. We will have the season premiere of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast year season 9 next weekend as the NFL season will kick off September 8th. So around September 10th or 11th, we'll do a program NFL preview, Super Bowl picks. We'll see if we can get the old gang back in terms of Robert Sack and Chad Quinn. They've had plenty of time to rest and relax. So we'll get them. We'll try to dust them off and get them going and see if we get, you know, some Super Bowl picks for the upcoming NFL season. NFL, you know, with all this quarterback instability, you know, it's gonna be interesting watching the NFL this year, especially. I'm telling you right now, September, if you're a betting man, I'm not, September is not a good month because you're going to see between the injuries, between teams not being in the kind of condition as far as with special teams, you're going to see a lot of wild games and unexpected scores. Come September. Now things will round to form, you know, early to mid October. They'll take shape. Teams will be who they are, and you'll get a sense of what direction the season is going in. But I'm telling you, the first month of the season is going to be like the Wild Wild West. I mean, there are going to be so many. Again, these teams don't practice like they used to. They don't hit in training camp. You know, again, you're watching the NFL Hard Knocks on HBO, and you know Jeff Fisher is very clear saying, "Hey, 30 does not hit the ground." Gurley got hit one time, and Fisher was like, "You know, enough of this." But we're treating him like a quarterback. Matter of fact, he probably is more valuable than our current quarterback, considering right now they don't really have one. So you're not going to see a lot. You're going to see a lot of wild action in the first month of the NFL season for sure. Big weekend in college football this with these opening games. You know, this probably as good a lineup as we've ever seen on the opening weekend. You talk USC, Alabama, LSU, Wisconsin, Florida State, Ole Miss on Labor Day night. You have Clemson, Auburn, you know, Georgia Tech, UNC, a bunch. A number of ranked teams playing against each other, and this is a big year to me for one conference and for one team. This is a huge year for the ACC conference. A lot of people are trying to put the ACC right up there with the SEC. Not quite there yet, but a lot of people are saying that there has a chance to be two ACC teams in Clemson, Florida State that make it to the playoffs, and you know. Look at, you know, you have Florida State, Clemson, Carolina's supposed to be pretty good. A couple other teams, Miami's supposed to be improved. So Louisville, always dangerous. So this is a big year for the ACC to make its mark and join that upper echelon, that top echelon of SEC, Big 12, Pac-12. And they have a chance to do it this year, without question. We know Clemson is a legit program. We know Florida State is a legit program. The rest of the ACC still remains starting to be seen. Michigan, and this is mainly due because of Jim Harbaugh, the heat is on Michigan. Not so much to win. Only year two of Harbaugh, but you know he's made such a big noise in the offseason with the recruiting, you know, with the antics with what he's been saying, that he's almost put pressure on himself to, undue pressure on himself for that program to produce this year. Last year, of course, they were 10-3. They had that devastating loss against Michigan State. That, I mean, that was a devastating loss. They're one of the most heartbreaking in-season losses I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like that play in terms of losing a game with the punter. You know, all they had to do basically is fall on the football, and the game was over. But Michigan State, that, again, I would go back and watch that play. So Michigan, you know, comes into the season with high expectations. They're a top 10 team. They had, you know, great recruiting, Harbaugh year two. I expect big things out of Michigan this year, even with a target. They will have better talent than they did last year. They'll have a better quarterback. Again, year two of his program, of his system. But again, Michigan, to me, Michigan and the ACC, two a conference and a team to watch moving forward in this 2016 college football season. It should be a crazy and wild season. Of course, as you know, to nobody's surprise, Alabama and rightfully so starts out on top. They're going to try to repeat as national champions, try to get their fifth in 8 years. I didn't think Alabama was a championship team last year, and they went 14-1. So I've never, ever. I thought Alabama was going to have like a 10-3, you know, 11-2 season. Or 9-4 season. I didn't think Alabama was going to be any good last year, and you know they won. Again, they lost one game, and they had in that one game they lost. They had five turnovers and still they lost by 5 points. So that's how much better they were than the rest of the country. Clemson, again, if Clemson's going to win a national championship, it's going to be this year. They have Watson back at quarterback, you know, who's going to be one of the leading candidates for the Heisman Trophy. They have, you know, a bunch of stars back. So if Clemson's going to win it, it's going to be this year. Problem for them is they're in the same conference, of course, with Florida State, and they have to travel to Florida State. We'll see Florida State in terms of what their quarterback situation is. They have a couple guys that got suspended and one got injured, but the starter, the guy who McGuire, I never was a McGuire fan myself anyway. Sean McGuire, I don't think he's that good, but the guy who's starting, Francois, seems to be the more athletic of the quarterbacks. So we'll see. I mean, Florida State's loaded on both sides of the offensive and defensive line. They are absolutely loaded, and there's a lot of talk that they have one of the best offensive line in football, lining up in front of maybe the best college football running back in Dalvin Cook. This is going to be, it's going to be a year for the running backs. I mean, you got guys like Cook out of Florida State. Of course, you know what you got in Fournette, LSU, the kid out of Stanford, McCaffrey, who's an all-purpose guy, but still, you know, was a great player out of Stanford. So it's going to be a big year for running backs in college football. 347-215-6180 is the call number. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. 31st of August. Amazingly, summer is basically over. I mean, you know, you'll have Labor Day weekend, the unofficial end of summer, coinciding with basically the official beginning of the football season. College course goes first. Big weekend there. Just talk about that. NFL will follow up 3 days after Labor Day on September 8th with Carolina and Denver, Carolina and Denver. So a big football weekend kicking off this Saturday. Again, there's a Thursday night game, but a Thursday night game, about three Thursday night games, but things, action really starts out Saturday, a boatload of games. Again, some big major matchups for some blue blood programs in Alabama and USC and, you know, Florida State. you know, Alabama, USC going at it, and Oklahoma, Houston. That Oklahoma better be careful. Houston is a very good team. I learned that firsthand the hard way as a Florida State fan last year and watching them beat my Seminoles in the bowl game. Again, I know Florida State did not really care too much about that game after not making the playoffs, but still, that was a New Year's Six bowl, and Houston again is a dangerous team, ranked number 15. That can be tricky for Oklahoma, which can be prone to early season losses. September, October. We've seen that over the last couple of years with Bob Stoops' program. So we'll see what happens with that. Talk a little bit about power as we, you know, head into the stretch drive of the season. Four episodes left. Or three episodes left. Let me get that right. Again, you can't, if you're a fan of the show, you cannot go crazy about this past episode because you can only have so many, oh my goodness, moments before you have an episode to kind of like settle things down and where you can catch your breath. So you have Tommy getting killed one episode, then you have followed up with Lomas getting killed the next episode. This episode was not going to be one of these cliffhanger episodes. It was just not. This was a plot-driven episode. A lot of interesting questions. What's going to happen with, you know, what's the deal with Kanan? What is he up to? What's going to happen with Tyreek? Well, I think he's going to get killed before the season's over myself. But what's going to happen with him? How is Ghost going to deal with Milan? So, you know, Karen Bassett. So there was a lot of plot. This was a plot-driven episode. It was not going to be about, they were not going to have another episode of fireworks and this person dies and this happens. This is a major reveal. That wasn't going to happen. It's not Empire. And that's why, you know, that's why I like this show in comparison to Empire. They don't go for the wow factor episode in, episode out. The characters that they took out, Holly and Lobos, were characters that they should have absolutely taken out. So those characters were not taken out just because those characters' story arcs had ran out and it was time for them to go, basically. So we'll see what happens in the next three episodes. I expect a bunch of fireworks in these next three episodes. I think last week's episode is going to set up for some big time, three big time episodes to carry us through the rest of the season, and we'll see what transpires with that. I was perfectly satisfied with the night of and how it finished. I didn't have a major problem with it. The Kapoor, what they did with her character and how she ended up in terms of, you know, kissing Nas in jail, they could have did without that. We didn't need that. I think her character is smarter. Do something like that to jeopardize her career in as a lawyer. Like, I don't think I think she's too smart to do something like that. So I didn't like what they did. I didn't like the writing from that standpoint, but I had no problem with the series. Didn't have any major problem with the series finale. And I thought that this summer that was the best show on television this summer. So that was my thought. And I'm glad Nas got out. I'm glad he got out. They kind of toyed with the fact that he killed a girl. I never fully believed that he ever did, that he killed the girl, and did not want to see him. I was fearing that they were going to keep him in jail, that he was going to go to jail, and that it was going to come out that he ended up did not do it, that he didn't do it, and that they were going to try to, you know, basically show you how many innocent people end up going to jail, which they could have did, but he gets out, faces life. Post, you know, now, you know, he's on, he has a heroin addiction. He's, you know, he's basically blackballed around his community. So it's not like his mom thought he actually killed the girl. So it's not like life is great for Nas. Man, I'm not talking about Nas here, Jones, but for Nas off the night of. So he has to rebuild their entire family has to rebuild their lives moving forward because it was such a traumatic event. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of Cyril Jerrell Quinn Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. Have a great evening. So long.